I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM all over this great state of Michigan. And we appreciate you tuning in. You're picking us up on the podcast. Happy Saturday, because we're glad you're here. But deer season's upon us, and we were talking a little bit about fresh venison. Bob mentioned that they're all running nocturnal now. My text and Facebook has lit up four or five times with some guys with some really nice bucks. Mm-hmm. They're out there, traveled to Cincinnati and back, as I mentioned in the first segment. The corn is off pretty much down there, and taking the back roads that you take to from Grand Rapids
to
Cincinnati.
I bet it's a record corn harvest this year, because the stocks were just huge.
And but I saw a lot of deer on the road, dead, as well as in the fields as you're driving through all of Ohio to get clear down to southern Ohio.
Yeah, and that's a tough way to take a deer.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, then, and fortunately we didn't. But at the end of the day, makes you think about it. So what about this backstrap? That seems to be the premier cut. There's tenderloins and backstraps. Maybe explain the difference of those.
It is, and we have that on the show plan to do, and I think sometimes that's all people think about and talk about, you know. What else is on that deer that you might like to use that you don't use? Well, the front shoulders get abused, right? People don't care about them. But I'll tell you what, you can grind it into burger for one thing. But we have a recipe on our website, thegrillingguys.com, that is called corned venison. And that is a fantastic way to use a shoulder, because it's very dense, a very lean piece. And the corning process will tenderize that beautifully.
So what is that? What's corning?
It's like a pickling spice sort of process, just like a corned beef.
Right.
You know, it's I don't have it up in front of me. I'm not going to try and list all the ingredients, but it's a time process. And that sits in the brine for days, and it works miracles on it. And for people that maybe don't appreciate the taste of venison or are afraid of it, if you corn one of those shoulders or any roast and then roast it or smoke it or do whatever you want to do with it, you're going to find a really beautiful, delicate, differently flavored piece of meat. And that might be a nice way to use a front shoulder.
Yeah. And other than just grinding it up into the burger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Could you use that shoulder to make jerky? Is that good meat to do?
Or anything works good for jerky. Okay. I love venison jerky.
Right.
And we've got a bunch of jerky recipes on the grillingguys.com too.
Yeah, and Sobey's going to talk in the next segment about processing, so I want to stay away from that, because maybe we'll touch on that a little bit with him, and he's going to know more about it. But
and his jerky's as good as mine.
Right, yeah. Just ask him. Yeah, just ask Bob. He'll tell you. That was a funny
It's an old
day.
Joke.
That was a funny day. You don't even be inside. When you tell your butcher your jerky's almost as good as mine, then you know what the butcher's going to look at you like, are you kidding me?
He glassed over.
Yeah. But anyway, so these deers, there's two quintessential cuts on a deer. There's tenderloins, which are a groin muscle, and then there's the back straps, which is a back muscle. And these two muscles are super tender on a deer, because they're not working muscles. It's muscle, but it's not in supporting or propelling the deer.
Yeah, and as Archie Bunker would say, you don't have to be a groin ecologist to know that.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Archie. But anyway, these back straps are what everybody talks about, and it's about the size of a tennis ball to a baseball. Round, and depending on the deer, big or small, they're different lengths. Right?
And you might see a deer on the side of the road with just the back straps missing.
You know what the weird part was, though? I saw several. This is stupid to me. I saw several that were hit with cars and their heads were missing, because somebody took the rack, stopped and cut the head off to take the rack of a roadkill deer. Not one. I saw four or five.
Wow.
Like that, driving down there. That's the craziest
thing. Have you ever seen a deer with the back straps missing?
No. No, I never have.
No. Like in your driveway.
Right, yeah. Right.
Now you have to report it when you take that.
Yeah, once every 3 days, right? You got to leave camp.
Even roadkill now. Yep.
Really?
My buddy Toivo up in the UP says, yeah, even you got to fill it out.
Do they have any deer left up there?
They do. There are fewer hunters. You know, that's the issue, is that fewer hunters
in the
woods.
They can't compete with the wolves,
though. Well, there you are.
Well, my friends in Western UP say is that all the deer are in town.
Yeah.
In town?
Yeah.
Huh.
The pressure in the woods is incredible. I mean, those things are 140, 150-pound killers. They're like, it's like the Crips and the Bloods running through the woods.
You should go up there and help those deer feel better about themselves.
Oh, I would. I'll tell you what. I would sign up for that trip. Anyway, so backstraps. Jop, you've got a favorite way of doing backstraps.
I do, and it's super simple, and it's really a fall flavor, and you have to be a little careful with it. But the backstrap, as I was saying, it might be 18, 24 inches long. It's probably 6-7 pounds if you did the whole thing. So that's a lot for unless you got a big group of guys around. So take a chunk of that.
Yeah, cut them in half. Typically, is how guys do it.
Yep, take a chunk of that in a plastic container or a glass container. I take the time of year is apple cider. Now apple cider is acidic, all right, and it'll break meat down over time. So you don't want to do this too long. I'm going to say a couple hours maybe is all, but I take that piece of backstrap and I just submerge it in apple cider. And what it does is it's already tender, but it makes it super tender, but the backstrap will absorb part of that apple flavor. And then I put that on a really hot charcoal grill or gas if you have it, and sear it and take your thermometer, and you only need to get that to about 125 degrees internal temperature right in the center. You're going to take it off and let it rest. Now you can put salt and pepper on the outside if you want, but I'm telling you that apple cider is enough.
And so when you take that off, then make sure you wrap it in something.
Right. Yep.
Plastic, foil, whatever.
Yeah, foil's probably better. It needs to breathe a little bit as it cools. The plastic wrap is a little too tight in my mind, but you tent it on
a
board.
You want it to breathe? I always wrapped it so it wouldn't breathe.
Well, I mean, foil's not going to stick to the meat like a saran wrap would, so I just use foil. You know me. I love foil. But
he does. <yeah. laughs> I got another foil story for you.
Yeah.
Don't foil it.
Right. But anyway, I let that rest as you do any roast that you take off the grill or the smoker. And then and what that does is the juices draw back through the meat, and it's very, very tight. Slice it in little medallions, maybe on the bias a little bit, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful treat, and it just screams fall to me with that apple cider. It's a brine, whatever you
want
to call it.
And if you want some seasoning for that, after you brine it, you can get some wonderful. Sobe Meats has just the biggest display of spices. I'm so happy for them in the barbecue business in West Michigan that you can get any flavor you want.
Right.
And there are some great ones, and you and I have used a bunch of them. And even met the people that made them when we were in Kansas City at different times.
Yeah, and there are apple-flavored seasonings. Anything with a little sugar in it after you've put that apple on there is going to be really good with that.
Well, now you're making me feel really bad.
Why?
Because I made you some apple barbecue sauce, and it's still in my refrigerator.
I heard that. I've yet to see it, but
it's
I heard
so
that.
Good.
That was like 2 weeks ago.
I know.
So it must be it gets better with age. Right?
I think it will.
Yeah.
I think what I'm going to do is make up a big batch of it because I picked so many apples.
Right. Coming up next, though, I got a story about those two. Coming up next, we got Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. He's going to help us with processing. Stick with us. We'll be back.